who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, He's free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am.
Father, we just want to thank You that because of Jesus, we can say we are children of God, always loved by You in this life. And we can also say, in My Father's house there's a place for me. You told us, Jesus, do not worry, do not be afraid. You have prepared a place for us. We thank You for the life we have now, the life where Your Spirit empowers us to live a life of peace and hope. But we thank You for our eternal life. where we don't even fear death because we know that you love us and because Jesus died for us. You are with us and for us now and forever. Thank you for your amazing love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to you again. It's great to have you with us this morning. And we look forward to the time, as we said, when we can all meet together in person again. But thanks for joining in church in this different way at the moment. And if there's anyone I don't know online, I saw a couple of faces I might not know. A special welcome to you for joining in with us this morning. And as a church family, something we do is we celebrate and we also pray for each other. The Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. That's what families do. We celebrate together and we pray for one another. A couple of things to celebrate this week. Happy birthday to Heather Borneman. I believe 70, if you know what that is. Happy birthday to you, Heather. Hope you had a lovely day as well. It was also International Nurses Day during the week, and we've got several present and past nurses in our church. So thanks for your commitment to the compassion and care of people. And thanks for your work during this virus time, especially those that are going to work still. So well done to our nurses. If you're sitting there, it's Mark Gemmett. If you're sitting next to a nurse, give him a cuddle. Come on, Mark. Well done. There you go. Who else? Is Bruce and Anne there somewhere? I can't see them on the screen. Oh, hey, no kissing. Come on. This is church. Stop that. Cut that out. But well done to the nurses. We appreciate you. And well done to those people. Listen, something else to... Well, this is what we're really about as a church, to give thanks. Last week, Lynn led a lady from our gym to Jesus and made a commitment to Jesus last week. So, I mean, that's the best news of all, isn't it? We're talking before, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. And we're saying that someone has chosen to be accepted by Jesus and now they have a place in heaven. And there's nothing else we should be more excited about. So, another great opportunity through our gym ministry. And that's just exciting to see. And we pray for the ongoing discipleship of that lady. So, we acknowledge Lynn too. She's an amazing lady who really cares about people. And that's just great news. So well done. Something else to celebrate as well. We got the final money going in the bank from our creative ladies who ran the stall, $2,000 going in there towards our youth and young adults, go towards that youth shed. So, well done to all those that are involved. So it's a fundraising thing, that's part of it, but it's also a relational thing for both ladies in the church and outreaching from the church as well. So a great opportunity. So, the relational parts are key and the most important, but it's great that they can raise money as well. So well done to all those people that are part of that as well. So lots to give thanks for and... I haven't had any messages this week of people asking for specific prayer, but there's still some that are recovering as well from different things. We pray for them, but that's some of the key things to give thanks for. So let me pray, and then we are going to just sit you in a group for a moment. Maybe you can share something good this week and have one person pray in your group for some prayer points as well. So let me pray, and then we're going to slot you in a group for a moment just to give thanks and to have someone pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to rejoice in eternal life for this person from our gym. And I just give you thanks, God. This is what it's really all about. You said, go and make disciples. And Lord, we've just sung, you've prepared a place in heaven. And so we just want to thank you for another opportunity through our gym ministry. We thank you for Lynn, who really cares about people deeply. And really wants people to know the love that she has. You say, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. And Lord, I thank you that Lynn is prepared with that. And so, Lord, encourage her in her ministry. And may this just be, the start of even more and more and more. So we just thank you for that. But Lord, we pray blessings on her as well. Lord, we want to thank you for the Creative Ladies team. We thank you for relationships that are growing in love and friendship in the church. We thank you for connections that were made even at that stall with the community to bless some people that are not in the church. And we thank you for money that's been raised and just that's going to be invested into youth and young adults. And it's just going to be an opportunity to see young people thrive in our church. We just rejoice in that. We want to thank you for International Nurses Day, and we thank you for the nurses in our church. Lord. And and I also, this week, God, I was just thinking about those nurses in ICMC in India and that important part of what they do in the orphanage. So we just pray, God, that you would just watch over ICMC as well during this challenging time as well. And Lord, we want to thank you for Heather Borneman, and we just want to, yeah, just thank you for her birthday this week. And thank you for what she means to her family, but also to us as a church family, what she means to us. And more importantly, God, what she means to you. She's loved by you beyond all measure. And so we pray blessings on her for the next year ahead as well. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for your goodness. We pray encouragement and peace for those that are finding it hard at the moment. And, Lord, we just look forward to see what you're going to do in the coming weeks and days ahead. So, Lord, comfort those that need a comforting hand. And, Lord, help those that are rejoicing to humble themselves and give thanks to you for their rejoicing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Stick in a group for a minute. Maybe try eight, Sam, and just give thanks for something and have someone pray for your group. Very good. Very good. Well, we're told in the Bible that God breathed life into humankind. In Genesis, we're told in Acts that in God all life is held. He holds all life in his hands. It's his breath that gives all life. He breathes life to all people and all things. And what is our purpose in life? It's to worship God. To worship God and to give him glory. And so he breathes in us life. And with that breath, we breathe out worship. That's our purpose here. And so this next song, one of my favourites, reminds us that it's God who breathed life into us. And so with this breath, we're going to praise his name.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You only. You give life.
You are love.
You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
You restore
every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You only. These bones will sing. Great are shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You only, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you only. Great are you, Lord. And great are you, Lord.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize all life is held in your hands. You are the giver, sustainer of all life and all people. So we thank you for the life you've given us. We recognize you've created us to worship you, and we pray you would help us with the breath in our lungs to praise you, to worship you. May we speak truth and life and encouragement to people, and not curses and all those negative things that we're often tempted to speak into this world. Help us with the breath you put in our lungs to speak life and hope and faith. Lord, may we just speak the words of truth, the words of Scripture, the words of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be the ones that are really speaking encouragement into this world with the breath you've given us. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for the gift of life, and thank you for the gift of eternal life found only through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of things happening in church life, just to be aware before we have the reading and today's sermon. So first of all, Jacob Fackler is going to be leading a new ministry that we're going to be starting a bit later in this year, a parenting course to equip and encourage parents, grandparents as well. And it's a 7-week course, a program. He'll be able to give you more information where you can go and see what the program's about. Now, we would encourage you to consider being part of this first one. We would love to have a group from the church be part of this first one. We hope to expand it wider than our church, but it'd be great to see some of the church family get involved. This isn't just for people that are in crisis. You think, oh, we're going okay. It's for all of us to learn and think about being a better parent, a better grandparent. And so we'd encourage you to be supportive of this. It's a course that's run with Christian values without being overtly Christian. So if you're a grandparent, you can bring your kids along if they're not Christians, and it's not going to be lots of Bible verses and things put to them. But it's got Christian values, but just presented in a way that's not confronting in that way. So look, you'll get more information coming out soon, but just encourage you to consider your family being part of this. And it'd be great to see in this first course a bit later in the year to see a whole bunch of the church family get involved. Maybe bring some of your grandparent, bring one of your kids along with you. Let's get involved. And I think the church should be a place that can model and teach healthy relationships. We shouldn't just leave that to everyone else. The church has got a space where we want to have healthy families. And we want to help people do that, and we want to encourage discussion and learning around that. So get involved in this parenting course. It's called Raising Responsible Adults, and that's what we want to get to with our kids. And so more information coming, but that's going to be a great opportunity for you and your family. So get involved. Wednesday night, we've got our second of our Wednesday night devotions happening this coming Wednesday night. I'll send out an email via Zoom. And, we're going to have another just short devotion at 7:30 Wednesday night. And it goes for about 40 minutes. And it's just a time of sharing together and keeping those connections happening. So I really encourage you to get involved. Wednesday night, 7:30 for our devotions. What else is happening? A couple other things. Videos. So I put it out there. We want some more. We haven't got many yet, church. Come on. We want a short video. Look, really be great if you kept it below 30 seconds. Why I'm a Christian. Just give us a little glimpse into why I'm a Christian. If you see these on Facebook, why not share them with your friends and family? And let's start getting the people sharing their faith via this way. So send Sam or myself a video, a short video. Just, it doesn't have to be a whole testimony. Just one reason why you are a Christian. And we're going to put those out on Facebook, share them with our friends and family, and encourage us to think about sharing our faith. So important. And just to let you know, today, in a moment, we're going to have the Bible reading. And our preacher today is from Open Doors, who are a ministry that minister to persecuted Christians around the world. So many Christians suffering for the name of Jesus. And it's going to be, he's preached that from his office, so not going to be here in our church this morning. But a really important message that while we sit in our safe space, that Christians around the world are hurting. And so we've got that this week. The next couple of weeks, we've got a couple other things. We're going to get back into our Calm series. We've got Pentecost coming. And then later in the term, we're actually going to start a series on Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet. Now, it's a bit of a long book, Jeremiah. You might want to start reading now and get into Jeremiah. And so that's what's coming on the cards in a little bit of time. So we're going to open doors today as we think about persecuted Christians. Then we'll get into our Calm series and Pentecost Sunday. And then we're going to get into the book of Jeremiah and think about one of those Old Testament prophets, which should be really interesting. All right. One last thing. I'm going to send an email about this during the week, but it's just been on my heart this morning. One of the things I'm seeing with churches all around me as I talk with people is we're all enjoying some of this online stuff, and some of us, like even me, are going and watching my friend's church and as well as our church, and there's all these stuff you can do. And I just have a sense that there's been so many great things in this and opportunities, but one of the negatives is we're feeding into this consumerist culture, that we're a bunch of consumers, where we sit and we pick and choose whatever we like, instead of that attitude of serving and dying for Jesus, taking up our cross, and really pressing into God's church. And so, just been on my heart. I might send a bit of a little devotion this week about that on the email, but just to have a think about as we start coming out of this, what that means. Have we somehow, there's so many great things that are happening with this online stuff in our church and youth and around the world, so many opportunities, but are we becoming consumers, where we just get the best of what we want, and it's all about just pleasing me as well. So I just encourage you to think about that. What does it mean to be a servant instead of a consumer as well? All right, we're going to have our Bible reading. Mark Jemmett's going to read that. And then Gabe from Open Doors will be sharing the message with us after that. Thanks, Mark Jemmett.
Thanks, Pastor Matt. Like to comment you on your new shirt too. Looks very good. The reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 29, and the heading at the top of this little section is called Paul and Silas in Prison. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Hey, Swansea Baptist Church, I was so excited to be with you this year again. But I'm glad that while I can't be with you in person, I'm still able to talk to you online. And so I'm so excited that you're having another Open Doors Sunday this year. Thank you so much for everyone who last year became a partner with the ministry. You've done an incredible difference. You've enabled us to make an incredible difference around the world. And so today I have a message for you and I'm so excited for it. I pray that it'll encourage you and inspire you in your walk with Jesus in this crazy time. It is so great that as a church, you've chosen to look out to value the global church in a time where it would have been easy for you to look at yourselves and inside the church. And so today, as we're looking out, considering the global body of Christ, I really hope that this message encourages and inspires you in your walk with Jesus. Maybe you're wondering where this accent is coming from, and just so you're not confused this whole time you're sitting on the couch, I'm originally from Switzerland. My mom is Italian. I'm married to an English, American, Irish woman, and so my accent is confused. I'm sorry about that, but that kind of gives you the background where I'm from. I grew up in Switzerland and have now been living in Australia for the last 7 years. Working at Open Doors for about a year and a couple of months, and it's been the greatest privilege of my life. The persecuted church has really mentored me looking back for about 10 years now. And so I hope that this message today gives you a chance to join me in this journey with the persecuted church, because I truly believe that they're incredible mentors to our faith. And in a time like this, they're the most valuable mentors we can have. And so I want to quickly encourage anyone who is struggling in this time. If you've lost your job, if you know people that are sick, that are ill, I want to remind you that Jesus is with you in this time. That Jesus understands. It is one of the greatest things about our God. I love it most that Jesus has walked this earth, understands us, understands the trials we're going through, and is not leaving us. And so regardless of what your circumstance looks like right now, I want to encourage you that God has not forgotten about you. God is right there with you, and I pray that this message today encourages you even more. Pray with me as we start. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we still have the ability and opportunity to meet, while not in person, but on the screens. Lord, we're grateful for the incredible privilege it is to be in relationship with you. And we ask today that you would speak to us, that you'd move in our hearts, Lord, that you'd use my words and speak directly into people's lives. We praise you, we honor you, and we give you all the glory, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me tell you the story of a girl called Susan. Susan is 14 years old and lives in Uganda. One day she is sitting in school and a traveling evangelist is coming through town. He preaches the gospel for about 3 hours, and captivated, Susan is listening to him. At the end of his sermon, she gives her life to Jesus. Full of joy, she runs home to her dad and tells him what had happened. Unfortunately, her dad was not happy about that at all. He became very angry and threatened Susan. He grabbed her and her younger brother, dragged her into the middle of the village, and held a knife to her throat, saying, "If you don't give up your faith in Jesus, I'm going to kill you and your younger brother." Now, I don't know how, but Susan had the faith and boldness in that moment to say, I'm not able to give up my faith in Jesus. Luckily, her dad doesn't kill her, but he drags her back into the house, and there he clears out a little storage room. He puts a mat on the floor, and he tells Susan that she's not allowed to move from that mat until she's willing to deny her faith in Jesus. For 3 months, Susan stays in that room, only surviving because her younger brother fries up banana on the pan and slides it under the door. From time to time, he would pour water on the ground when the dad wasn't home for Susan to lap up on the other side. After 3 months, the people in the village finally get it out of her younger brother where Susan is. They rescue her out of the room in the house and they rush her to the hospital. There, the village team bumps into the team of Open Doors. Open Doors comes alongside her and starts the rehabilitation process that took about 12 months. See, Susan's bones had started to grow in the shape she was laying on that mat. Her hair had yellowed from the lack of sunlight. But still, our team tells us that when they met with her, someone asked her, Susan, why didn't you stand up in the room? No one would have seen you. No one would have known. And without missing a beat, Susan responded, No, you don't understand. My dad said, if I get up from that mat, if I move, that means I'm not a Christian anymore. And I couldn't do that. See, every time Susan would talk about Jesus or the Bible, her face would light up. Full of joy, she would talk about the love and forgiveness she had received in Jesus. Remember, she's 14 years old. But a joy and a determination to praise God like no other. And so today you can title this message, A Ruthless Determination to Praise. I want to talk to you about the most crucial lesson I've learned with the persecuted church, and it's to praise God regardless of the circumstances we're finding ourselves in. See, I don't know about you, but I look at Susan's story and I wonder what I would have done in her shoes. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church pretty much every Sunday of my life. Still, I don't know if I would have had the courage and boldness to deny or to not deny my faith in Jesus in these times, but also to come out of this and continue to praise God. Because you see, Susan had every reason not to praise God anymore. But still, all that comes out of her mouth is praise and joy from her relationship with Jesus. What does your faith or praise sound like when you're in difficulty? When life is tough? What does it look like? Because when I look at my life, very often when things are going well, I probably even forget to praise God. But as soon as things go a bit difficult or not the way I wanted them to go, I start to wonder if God has left me. And praise is definitely not on my lips. And so this is the crucial message for me that I've learned with the persecuted church, to personally go on a journey and challenge myself. When can I praise God when I don't feel like praising God? I want to look at the Bible, a few passages that kind of pick this up and really portray a beautiful picture of what the global church is doing in times of trial. If you open Acts with me, if you go to Acts, the beginning, I just want to walk through a few chapters of Acts. It's describing the story, the testimony of the early church. One of the main figures is Paul the Apostle. And at the beginning, the disciples are, not Paul, the disciples, are receiving the Holy Spirit. And they're empowered. And Jesus tells them before he leaves, he said, the Holy Spirit will come. Wait for it. And once the Holy Spirit, you've received him, bring the good news. Carry the gospel to the ends of the world. He says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. You see, the Holy Spirit comes and the church is filled with the Spirit and is flourishing. People are added to its numbers daily, but they're staying in Jerusalem. If you turn the pages forward to Acts chapter 7, verse 54 tells the story of Stephen being stoned to death because of his faith in Jesus. Then in chapter 8, we read in verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. a huge persecution broke out, and it drove the gospel out of Jerusalem. See, when we read this, what would have happened if the church would have just decided this is all too difficult? We're just going to stay home and wait this one out. Maybe wait until it's more peaceful outside, and then we'll continue. See, the gospel wouldn't have spread as much. And in times that we find ourselves today, it's crucial that as the church, we see our opportunity in these times. Where we're not hiding, we're not sitting back, but we're looking for opportunities to share the hope, regardless or especially in the face of uncertainty. Come with me to chapter 16. By now, Paul is a Christian. He used to be Saul and persecute the early church. Has an encounter with Jesus and is now sharing the good news with people. Him and Silas are in Philippi in chapter 16, and I want to read to you from verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I want to stop there and just look at a few key things that I believe are so crucial for us to understand in this passage. To give you a bit of context for the chapter 16, Paul and Silas are walking through the city of Philippi, and the reason for their persecution is that Paul drives out a spirit out of a woman who's fortune telling in the streets. And so even that, if I think about what he's done, if I would have been in his shoes, if I would have done that thing, freeing a woman from evil spirits, and I would have received that punishment, being put in prison, I don't know what my response would have been. But we look at Paul and Silas, and it looks like their posture of their hearts was praise and worship at all times. Because even in this time where they've just done God's work, they're about sharing the good news of Jesus, they're being put in prison. And while I would have been frustrated most likely with God and disappointed that that had happened to me, Paul and Silas are worshiping Jesus. In verse 25, we read, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. See, it's one thing to praise God in a difficult circumstance for yourself. It takes a certain decision. It takes a commitment. But you need to understand what it does to the people around you. So often we forget that as Christians, we're really representatives of Jesus. We're here to shine the light and hope of Jesus as brightly as we can. And in times like these, when we choose to praise God, even in dark, difficult circumstances, other people are going to start to listen. If we keep reading in the second sentence of verse 26, it says, at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. See, praising God in the midst of your difficulty doesn't just change your circumstance, your way of encountering the situation, but the people around you. I love that it wasn't just Paul's and Silas's chains that were flowing open, but it was everyone's chains that came loose. And so it's this testimony of if we live our lives in a way of a posture of praise, showing other people that there's always reason to praise God, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in, it has a huge impact on the people around us. And see, it's really those stories, Susan's and comparing it or looking at Paul and Silas in the Bible, that make the persecuted church such a valuable mentor to our faith. Because you see, when I read this story all my life, it was distant and far and miraculous, but it just wasn't really something I would have believed for my life. But hearing Susan's stories, knowing that the persecuted church are going through difficulty just like the early church was, and that they have the faith and boldness to continue worshiping Jesus through it, enables me to go, I can do that. I'm inspired by Susan, and I'm encouraged to make my own steps to continue worshiping Jesus in the midst of uncertainty. And really, that's why Open Doors exists. See, we're about helping people follow Jesus all over the world, no matter the cost. And so we do that by going to the hardest places first. We come alongside the local churches and give them what they need in their hardships. It all started 65 years ago with delivering Bibles to churches that didn't have access to the Bible. And now it has come to a place where, as a ministry, we're working in 70 countries, coming alongside the church in different ways, whatever they need. It might be that we give food packages out, medication that is really hard to get for Christians, especially in times like these. There's other ministries where we have discipleship courses, trainings for pastors that come out of prison that have never led a church before, or equipping churches to handle situations where their pastors are being put in prison for their faith. And so really, as a ministry, we're coming alongside the church globally, because while we do that for the persecuted church, we want to invest into you in the local church here in Australia. Because you see, you can almost put it like this. You can say what they need, what the persecuted church needs, I give. What they learn, I need. It is crucial for their survival that the church in Australia stands up and supports them. The global body of Christ, strengthening one another. But at the same time, it's not one way, you see. It's both ways. Because as we support the persecuted church to continue shining the light and hope of Jesus to their communities, we can learn from their experiences, from their lessons, from their way of fighting or continuing the good fight in the midst of persecution and challenge. As a minister, we don't exist to end or stop persecution. And while that might sound really weird, let me explain it to you. If we would want to stop persecution, all we have to do is tell people to stop sharing their faith in Jesus. But see, that's not what we're about. And while we desperately have tried to bring people into safer positions, replace them away from horrible persecution, so many times the persecuted church are the ones that say, no, we can't leave here. Because you see, if we leave, who's going to tell these people about Jesus? And I find it so compelling that the global church, especially the persecuted church, has such a love for God and for his people, for the people that they can reach. And see, while we need to support them, while they need our support, we can learn from their passion for their neighbors, for their surroundings, for their countries. And so I really hope that this is starting something in you, a glimpse of a passion to know and learn from the persecuted church so that it influences your walk with Jesus here in Australia. I want to tell you another story of a pastor in Sri Lanka. His name is Kumaran. He's an associate pastor of Sion Church in Batticaloa. I hope I said that right. It's in Sri Lanka. And last year at Easter, he was standing at the church and he was talking to a stranger that was standing there for the first time. He was wearing a backpack and he wouldn't really start a conversation with Kumaran. Kumaran tried, but he had to leave to his sister church. And so he asked two of his senior leaders to look after the men, to show him into the church and to be with him during the service. He left, but only 5 minutes into his drive, he got a phone call that said, Pastor, come back, the church is on fire. He rushed back, of course, to the church, and there he hears the news that the man that he asked his two senior leaders to look after had detonated explosives that were in his backpack. And so people had lost their lives, things were burning, the church was destroyed. Eyewitnesses would later tell or recount that Ramesh and Sazi, the two senior leaders that Kumaran had asked to look after the man, prevented the man from entering the sanctuary, which would have cost another 200 lives if he would have gotten in there. Kumaran said, if the bomber had gone inside, more than 200 people would have been killed. Kumaran grieved for his friends, but he also had lost his son at this attack. He says, when I think of what happened to my son, there's pain in my gut. But it's not a question of why this happened, he said through tears. Now listen to what he said. He's not going to ask why. He says it's a question of, Lord, how can I pass through this? After grieving his son at the funeral, Qumran said, Satan has been defeated. Let's get back to work. It's this determination of praising God regardless of the circumstances they're in. And I believe it's one of the key things that Qumran so beautifully said here. He said, it's a question of, Lord, how can I pass through this? See, as Christians, it's not really, if you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that you have an easy life, a good life, a perfect life. Not at all. But what it does mean is that you have the ability and strength to walk through the trials of life with your head held high. See, the power of Jesus, the power of God is with you in times like these. And that's the difference. That's the hope we have as Christians. And that's what people need to hear. I think it's fascinating to look at these stories happening just in the last few years and comparing them or letting them inspire me reading the Bible, and especially the stories of that we looked at, Paul and Silas being imprisoned. See, as I said before, you can read these stories in the Bible and just let them kind of go past you. But when you hear the stories of the persecuted church, you realize that this is real. This is not just made up stories 2,000 years old. There's stories that happened and people that inspire you today to live that bold faith in Jesus as well. And I think as we close, it's important that when we look at today's world, this horrible situation where we're stuck in our homes and people are being sick, we're losing people in all around the world. But it's crazy to think that while we would do anything to change the situation, we can't do anything. We've maybe lost our jobs. We've got friends who are not able to work anymore. And we do anything to change that. And while we can't change that situation, it brings us to a very similar place that the persecuted church is kind of used to. They're used to meeting in isolation, having to hide, having to run away, not being able to work. But see, the difference to them is they could change that. If they would stop their proclamation and faith in Jesus, they would have a job. They would have access to all the freedoms you want in life. And so in this time, I find it incredibly inspiring to consider them and learn from them. While their life is difficult and not easy, they have chosen to walk continuously with Jesus, to put him first and understand that Jesus is everything, everything in life. And so I want to invite you to partner with the persecuted church. See, you have the opportunity to join this adventure of the global family of believers. You can subscribe to the Survival of the Persecuted Church. It's $39 a month that helps and enables Open Doors to really come alongside the church that is in desperate need right now. While persecution is difficult and hard for Christians around the world, this virus is making it even more difficult. Pastors we hear in India are struggling to meet with their believers because of the lockdown, which means they're not getting any money, they can't buy food, and they're literally starving. In other countries, Christians are being blamed for the virus. And then again, there's countries all around the world where Christians simply don't get access to medication. And so your support of Open Doors, your partnership with Open Doors enables the global church to come together and unify. Paul writes in Corinthians that if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. Partnering with Open Doors enables you to play your part in supporting and strengthening the global body of believers. Think of people like Susan or Qumran. It's those people that were able to serve and come alongside so that they can continue to boldly and courageously follow Jesus in their worlds. Since you're watching this on a screen, you might have the ability to type in the link I'm about to tell you where you can join us. It's opendoors.org.au/subscribe. You can jump on that link and you can find out what it means to become a partner with the Ministry of Open Doors. Or if you're watching this from your couch and you just got your phone in your hand, you can also text a number with the word subscribe and then you get a link that gets you to the sign up page of Open Doors. The number you need to text is going to stay on the screen, but it's 0417-665-785. You'll see it on the screen and you can text it with a simple word subscribe and you'll be able to join us on a monthly basis. You see, it's really the monthly partners that we have in Australia that enable us to do the work we're doing in over 70 countries, coming alongside 260 million Christians that are suffering for their faith. And so I really hope that this message today has inspired and encouraged you to, on one hand, go deeper in your own relationship with Jesus, but on the other hand, considering your persecuted brothers and sisters around the world that are suffering for their faith. And so let me pray for us as we close this service. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we honor and worship you. We're grateful for the fact that we have a relationship with you. We thank you for the opportunity to still meet together, to worship you together, and we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world that are either joining in services online as well or are not able to and stuck alone in their homes. We pray that you'd be with them, that you'd strengthen them, Lord, and that they would continue to carry your light and hope and love out to their communities. Jesus, I ask that you would move in our hearts, that we would understand what it means to continue to praise you, even in the midst of uncertainty and difficult situations in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much again for having me. It's been a privilege to spend time with you, share the stories of the persecuted church, and I really hope that you see the incredible work that God is doing through his global church today. God bless.
Quite challenging and inspiring, isn't it? Challenging to hear the faith of people where their very lives are on the line. And so there's that personal challenge to our own faith to praise God in the midst of whatever happens in life. And there's that opportunity to partner with the global church, even through prayer if you can't do financial. Again, I might send those links out during the week just to encourage you to really have a heart of compassion for those that are following Jesus in our world, where it really does cost them, and quite inspiring stuff. Let's sing a song together. We're going to praise the Father, praise the Son, as we sing this song together. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom come, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, free God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, till the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born,
Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not heal, shall not fail. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings.
And we praise you forever, Heavenly Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Help us to praise you all the time. Help us to be inspired by those stories of people in our world that are just praising you and giving thanks in the midst of great trial. Thank you for their faith. May it inspire us to be bold and courageous with our faith. Help us to have a heart of compassion for our global church, God, that we don't just care about our own backyard, but we recognize the church is a global church and we care about our brothers and sisters that are hurting. Lord, we pray for the Open Doors ministry, that it would flourish and grow and thrive and be a blessing to the persecuted church. We pray for Gabe as well, as he seeks to inspire churches around our state, that you would help him to inspire people to love the persecuted church. But Lord, help us to lift up in praise your name all the time, no matter what happens, and to be confident in our faith. No matter who comes against us, help us to stand strong for the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this morning. It's been a great morning. And look, people are sort of wondering what, as things unfold with some of the changes, what will happen with church. Well, what we're looking to do first is when we can, there's a little handful of people that can't get on the internet. So the first thing we'll be doing is be inviting them into the space as a small group here to join us on Sunday morning. So we'll keep going on the internet and we might see if some of those people that can't manage with the Zoom, there's just a handful of them, we might get them to come and join us here on site first and give them the first go to be here with us as well. We're going to put a video on and then it's time for a cuppa. Please stay and have a cuppa. Join a group. Hit join group on your phone or your computer. You just got to hit join group at the end of this video. So during this video song, go make yourself a cup of tea and have a cup of tea with someone from church. God bless you all.
I raise a hallelujah in the prayer.